Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
At 3 p.m., Pastor Johan Els takes over on something else. And of course, your 3 p.m. bulletin comes with him. And yeah. But for now, it's the voice of Bonolo Nkosi, your host here on the Wednesday edition of Heart to Heart. And look at that. I have a human being next to me. The other one is behind the glass, so it doesn't count. They're both shaking their heads. I really need to be nicer to both. He needs to train me to be an engineer. And he says if I keep this up, my training is going to leave. It's going to leave much to be desired. So I'm going to work on that. I'm going to be praying that the Lord would help me. I'm kidding. I'm messing around. Don't call Dr. Dionita on me and take me to management. How are you?
That was so abrupt. I'm good, Winola. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to have you with us.
Always good to be here.
Oh, man. I love this topic. I really love what we're talking about today. We talk about winning through love. And I think the reason why I love it so much is because too often, and we all forget this, myself included, that love is, I was going to use the word weapon, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Oh, the word is escaping me now. This is terrible.
Data depleted.
You know what? I'm going to stick with weapon, for lack of a better word. Cool. The right word will come to me.
Yeah.
But that love is a weapon.
Yeah.
We don't see it that way because when you think war, if you think you're in a battle, if you think, you need to win something, love is like, oh, man, that thing, that flimsy, feel good, feely thing. But I don't think that's quite how God sees it.
True.
Which is why I love the title that you've given, this winning through love. And perhaps a good place to start, seeing as I have mentioned flimsy feelings, is to define how we should define love as believers. So what is the actual godly definition of it, if you will?
I think it's a very interesting position or place to start off at. And just to echo some part of what you had already said as well, in the sense of saying, when we think about war, we also think, we are so narrow-minded in our thinking that we only think about what can I use to hurt, what can I use to destroy, what can I use to attack, what can I use to, disintegrate and all those things. But so often do we actually forget the strength that love possesses in the midst of a war, in the midst of a battle, in the midst of a fight. So one of the biggest things that I always stand on is looking through the Bible, and for every one of us, if you take your time, you look through the Bible, you will find very few things that God equates himself to.
Yeah.
Like equates.
Equates. I hear you.
And it's important for us to pick that word up. And one of the most outstanding things, if not the only thing, and we can all search together maybe for the next week and give us answers next week or something, but if there's one thing that he equates himself to, is love. He equates himself to love. And he says in scripture, and let's quickly open it, and I think that's one of the best definitions, if not the greatest definitions, we can always come up with when we refer to God himself, where the Bible simply says God is love. I mean, nothing goes beyond that. Nothing goes beyond that particular perspective of defining. And if the Bible says God is love, it therefore simply means that love is God. It's simply God. And interestingly, so in John 3:16, when he speaks about or introduces us to Christ, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." It's like God became himself. And when he came, well, not necessarily became himself, but came to himself and realized, wow, I can't do anything about this. This is me. Like, I can't throw this world away. I can't chuck this guy's out. This is me. I've got to do me. And me is love. And that's the biggest definition that I really want us to take home with us. And the reason why I want us to take home that definition with us in terms of God being love, or God is love, is because then we come to a place of saying, when we display love, we're displaying God. We truly and honestly displaying God.
Sure.
And it's a very big challenge, because one of the things why I really felt was a very important reason why we should have this conversation is because many of us have seen people turn their backs on us in the last couple of months. Maybe because we don't have the financial capabilities we used to have. We don't have the things we used to have. We're not as prominent as we used to be. A lot of things have happened that have made people turn our backs on us. You can get an opportunity in the next week, in the next day, in the next hour or so, to actually execute love to a person who turned their back on you.
Oh, tough one.
It's a very tough one.
Mm.
And it's very tough because naturally, none of us naturally feels like loving somebody who hurt us.
Mm.
It feels like embracing somebody who hurt us. But I want you to always think, if God is love and he came and embraced the world that turned its back against him, we are judged, we are expected, we are mandated to work towards that level as well, where we can be able to execute that. What's the definition? God is love.
Yeah, ne? You reminded me of something.
Yeah.
This is flesh and confess all my sins at once.
You've been confessing quite a lot.
Yes, no. I'm generally an open book. It's fine. It's okay. And talking about this reminds me of something. So I used to be at a particular branch of our church, and then a new branch opened up closer to home, and then I shifted. And at the particular old branch that I used to be at, this particular friend of mine that I was quite close to, lovely, lovely human being, just like, as you could argue that our personalities are very similar, like these happy-go-lucky people, you know? But, you know, here and there, she went through a tough time, and I had the means to help, so I assisted now and again, and, you know, whatever. And then I shifted. I moved from the one to the other.
Mm.
And then never heard from her again. Never heard from her again. And I was...
That's tough, eh?
And I was like, heaven, what just happened? And I remember thinking to myself, okay, what do I do here? And then, you know, you go through the whole, do I have a right to be offended? Am I taking this too far? You ask yourself lots of questions. And then the thought comes, give her a ring. And I'm like, no, wait. I'm not going to pick up my phone and call. Like, why must I call her? Like, I thought we were actual friends. So now that we no longer see each other, nobody's calling nobody. Why must I be the person to pick up the phone, you know? And in my prideful state, like, I have helped enough. Now I must also pick up the phone and be like, hey, so how are you doing? How's life? Are you good? Are you, you know, whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me here. Now, this is nothing. Like,
sure.
People go through
hectic
stuff. But do you see how mild this is? And yet, this mild little thing can be a silly stumbling block, you know, from something that God wants to do. And, I mean, I got over it, moved right along, because I thought, well, no, seriously, you've been through a lot, this is ridiculous. Just pick up the phone and move on already.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yes, Bonolo, just pick up the phone and move on already. You know, but it's a little thing that if it's not taken care of, can become a really, really big thing. And
100%.
Then suddenly it's a blockage, you know. I'm going to leave it at that.
I think it's important to also realize how such a little thing can demand so much from us. You look at how little the thing is and how much humility that emanates from love it demands from me.
Yes.
It could be somebody did not return my call. It could be somebody did not answer my call. It could be any particular thing.
Yeah.
And I think the demand it places on us, especially as believers, becomes very tricky, because the natural man wants to find justification in equation. I think that makes sense. Yeah. In equating what you gave to me, I feel like I must give the same back to you.
Mm.
Then we are even we are justified. And I think one of the things that really emanated from the scripture where God says God is love in 1 John 4 verse 16, if you read from verse number 12, you'll see that the Bible says no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. This was a case of dealing with the visibility of God in practicality, not in bodily form per se, God coming down and sitting in my living room, but Munolo being a representation of God by showing love. And somebody sees God in that and they're like, this cannot be anyone else. And I think I'm going ahead of myself here by saying that it seems like when God urges us to love, he actually wants us to go beyond ourselves.
Yes.
Go beyond our capabilities, go beyond our desired outcomes. And he says, but if we love one another, God abides in us. That's the second level where God desires to abide, but he abides through love. So when the more I outpour, the more he infills.
Yes.
The more he abides in me. And lastly, he says, and his love has been perfected in us. Notice that it's not our love has been perfected in him.
Yes.
Because our love is very limited, guys. I mean, to be quite honest, we fail. Like,
dismally.
You know what I'm saying? But it's his love. And it's like he's saying, I need to move you to a certain level where you love ununderstandably. Like, it doesn't make sense. How can you still love this person? Like, how can you call this person and say you want to talk to them? How? You know, and that's the beauty of what God wants to bring us to.
Man, you know, for a lot of people, you use the word beyond our capabilities.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want you to expand more on that point that you just made now, because for a lot of people, it is about, well, the how do I achieve how Christ loved. I mean, for goodness sakes, he went to a cross.
Dude.
He got nailed on it. I mean, someone was saying what's that movie? The Passion of the Christ.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. Please go watch it if you haven't seen it. But I mean, that movie is hectic.
Yeah.
Like, just the depiction of detail Christ, the being beaten and bruised. And someone said, even in that movie, he was still recognizable. And the Bible says he was not recognizable. So they still didn't quite get there. They got close, but they still didn't get there. So loving like that, seems like quite a tall order. So how does one achieve how Christ loved?
John 15:13 is where I want to start. And I would really, sometime in the future, someday we'll go back to 1 John chapter 4. But John 15 verse 3 says, greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Another version will say to lay down one's life for another.
Yes.
This is Christ in the practicality and the epitome of love displayed in who he is, by laying down his life. So many people will come to me and say, so pastor, should I die? Should I hang myself? Yes, you should actually die.
Because the thing about it though is that that's exactly how it feels when you're doing it feels like if you've ever had the pleasure of having to pray for an enemy, it literally feels like you're dying. like just the breath. You know how you don't consciously breathe, but the breath of having to take the breath to pray for.
And you're dead.
Death. Death by prayer. Death.
I think we should write a book like that. Death by prayer. Significantly important for us to understand this principle.
Yeah.
And you've hit the nail on the head. Because then, once you don't die by loving, you are nowhere close to where Christ is when it comes to love. And I want to repeat that one again, and I'll expand on it shortly. Once you don't die by loving, you are nowhere close to where Christ is. As much if you love to gain, if you love to gain, before you love to die, you die first, then you gain. That's why he says, unless a seed falls down to the ground,
yes,
and dies, yes, it will, yes, remain alone. So his interest was not gaining initially. His interest was dying for, even if it was one, even if it was two, even if it was three, he was going to still go down that particular road.
Sure.
And I think so many times we are still too much alive.
Mm.
You know, we are still alive. There's too much of us, too many of us leaving, that love does not go around.
Mm.
Because, or Christ's, you know, level of love does not go around. Because there's just still too much of us that are still alive. And how do I get there? I tell you the honest fact, start dying. Start dying. It takes little by little. The great example that you gave about the friend, what needed to die there was self.
Yes.
Was the pride in self that said, never, never, no, like, I helped you, you turned your back on me, you don't call me, you don't, you know, all those things. But it needed me to take self and hang self and say, dude, I'm killing you right now. Feel the pain.
Yeah.
Feel the inch. Number two, any love, and I know scripture, famous passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, everybody was waiting for us to get there, but we just touch a bit on it. But the Bible says love is unconditional, right? When the Bible says that, it's actually telling us that you love without considering the condition.
Yes.
But
no love, expectation.
But love has conditions.
Hmm.
You must die. That is the condition. You must die. So it's not absent of the, well, for lack of a better, the self-consequences. So the consequences are not inflicted on me. I self-inflict so that I might actually release love. And that's why scripture says when Christ was on the cross, he gave up his life.
Mm.
What scripture is trying to tell us is that he could have saved his life. He could have kept his life.
It's true, actually.
He was not killed. He actually gave up his life. He actually says, dude, I'm releasing it for them. You know, I mean, this is a guy who walked on water. This is a guy who raised the dead. This is he did all those things. Like, what makes you think that he couldn't just call on the Father and say, dude, this thing is not working. I'm out of this thing. And then he just, you know, releases himself from there. But he gave up his own life. And this is where we come down to when we talk about death. Give yourself away. Give yourself away to get to the place and to the level of how Christ loved. And if you're listening to me right now, you're probably thinking, how do I do that? It's very simple. The thing that you feel you cannot release towards somebody is the most important thing you need to release to show death, even unto yourself. Number three, which is the last thing I need to put forward. To get to Christ's level of love, don't blow your own horn.
Hmm.
Do not love, and while nobody is saying anything, you're waiting for voices to say, how she loved. Oh my God.
You have your reward, the Bible says.
Yes. So many people get away from, or rather move away from loving because they feel like nobody said anything. Like, I mean, after such a great act that I did, like, why aren't you saying anything?
Mm.
If you sit in that particular position, you must really ask yourself the motive for loving.
Mm. Yes. That's the time to ask.
That is it. You know, you must honestly ask yourself, am I really loving? 2 weeks ago, and I hope he's not listening. 2 weeks ago.
Well, hope he's here.
2 weeks ago, a friend of mine came to my spirit so heavily, and we had a bit of a difference there and there, and, you know, not to go into too many details.
Yeah.
And I remember late at night, I told my wife, this guy is just popping in my spirit.
He's bothering me.
And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'll be okay. But I brushed it aside. I put it aside. Guess what? Yesterday he texts me.
This is now before you text him.
That is before I. He texted me. And when he texted me, I'm like, let me call you. And he's like, why do you want to call? I'm like, yeah, it's been 2 weeks now, 3 weeks that I have been having to do this.
Yes.
And my pride couldn't let me.
Wow.
But there needed to be a death.
Yes.
And I remember we had a very heartful conversation late last night. We had a very heartful conversation. And I realized, wow, like, this is important. Like, I could have missed being a help, a strength to somebody just because I was too proud to get down on my knees or to, you know, lower myself down and lose myself just to be able to extend a hand of love.
You know, the thing about these things is that we all think that we can do it.
Yeah.
Until it's really close to home. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to take the right people to test that. You know, it doesn't work with Joe Soap, whom you're like, neither here nor there. Like, there must be a voice that I see on there.
Out of all people, eh? Out of all people.
He's the closest, but he's the only person I can see as a point of reference.
I think it's the glass, Vusi. It's the glass that's a problem, not you.
But the point is, there has to be some kind of relationship. There has to be a working relationship, a personal relationship for it to be impactful,
and I think the deeper the relationship, the deeper you need to die.
Yes,
like I don't even know how to describe it. It's a big task, and for us to be able to move to that level.
This is true. This is true.
It's very important for us to get to that particular place, and I think God also puts us in a position where He wants to see the genuineness and the reality of that love being displayed, and usually it's with the closest.
So true.
The closest. I mean, Jesus had to hug.
You know,
Judas.
Somebody might say, but can it really be unconditional though? Like, for real?
It's a tall order.
Yeah.
It's a tall order, but it can. Because remember, it is, again, a point that we raised, I think, earlier, 5 or 6 minutes ago, that it is His love that is perfected within us. Not our love that is perfected in Him.
Yes.
So we often want our love to be perfected in Him. And that is where we want to, God, meet this condition, make that work like this,
And
Then I will. But most of the often in times, and this is a prayer that many of us might, you know, bypass or sidetrack. Help me. Aid me to love. Give me what is your love, that I may function in that I may move in that love.
Yeah.
It's a tall order, because it is something that is humanly impossible. And the key word being humanly impossible, but divinely possible.
Indeed.
Humanly impossible, but divinely possible. And I'm guys, it's not going to be a click of a finger overnight. You click a finger and God just, you know, performs like a big miracle, and then you just love on, and then you just love on a person. Sometimes it's a journey and a process that we need to walk on.
I heard, who was it? I was reading a devotional by John Bevere earlier on.
Yeah.
But there's a sermon of his. Oh goodness, I forgot the title now. I will remember it. It's so worth listening to. Available on YouTube.
Yeah.
But he talks about forgiveness. But that's not the title of the sermon. But it's in line with what we're talking about now, about loving. And he was talking about how he was hurt by a pastor that he considered a mentor, right? That he looked up to, the worked together for years, and then whatever went down. And just I'm referring to this, thinking about what you're saying about it being a process, and that the fact that it takes time, and that eventually God started dealing with him to say, you know, why are you leaving this thing? Do something, you know. And so he started taking the necessary action steps to fix the relationship, or to work on his forgiveness. And he was referring to it like a wound that needs time to heal. You know, that as you take, you'll take the first step, and then maybe you're fine for a little while, and you think, oh, no, I'm good. And then suddenly something happens, like a trigger, right? And then something else. And then you have to take the next step, and then the next step, and the next step. Until eventually he thought, I'm never getting over this. And then his wife says, why don't you buy him a gift? What is he into? What does he like? You know, what is he, what would really, you know him well, what would really speak to his heart? And he thought to himself, God, I don't know if I can. I know exactly what it is. I've got the money to buy it, but I just don't know. I just don't know if I can do this. And indeed, and he knew when his wife said it, that this is exactly what, that was God speaking to him. Yeah. He instinctively knew that this was the final getting over this hurdle. And he took the money, went to buy the thing, finally called him, went to speak to him, brought him the gift. And the man knew exactly what had gone down. So he knew what he was guilty of, even though he'd never made the call to apologize. But he broke down. And that was what eventually enabled this reconciliation to happen, where it was like, I know that I wronged you. I just was too ashamed to pick up the phone and say, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have, whatever the case might be.
So, I'm thinking while you're saying.
Yes, please think in our last minute.
There's a picture that's coming to me. That how many times do we try and break down people? By everything except love.
Sure.
You know, we try and break them down, punch them, do everything. Meanwhile, it's only love
that will do the
genuine breaking. And for some of the people that are listening to us, their relationships you have walked away from for years now, and you've decided, I'm never going to talk to my next door neighbor, I'm never going to talk to my mother-in-law, to my father-in-law, never again will they set foot into this house, never again. And those things were said from a position of pride of self. And today God is giving us an opportunity,
yes,
to come back and to say, I've been trying to break you down by all these antics and, you know, all these actions that I've been doing, but I'm going to start breaking you down by love. And it's interesting, and this is maybe my last submission in this particular point.
Yes.
Is that it's interesting that you break down by embracing.
Mm.
But embracing is an oxymoron of, yes, breaking down. You're putting together by, oh, you're breaking down by putting together. You know, and that's what God is calling us to do.
Pray for us, will you?
Yeah, man. Father, we pray that, Lord, God Almighty, may your divine hand be involved, oh God, in leading our hearts and leading our lives to a place of really displaying love in its genuine form that comes from you. And Father, some of us are struggling even just to utter a word, just to even send a text, just to even pick up the phone and be in the same room or any of the such, even in the church. Mighty God, help us that, Lord, we come to a place where we are divinely aided to reconcile and to walk that journey, the same journey that Christ walked for us while he was going to Mount Calvary. It was love that pushed him there. Mm-hmm. It was love that made him carry the cross on our behalf. And may that same love that was in him even dwell in us, just like scripture says that your love has been perfected in us. And Father, we pray that, Lord, somebody will be able to testify that I took the first step,
yes,
and I'm moving into a place where my family is reconciled, where my friendships are reconciled, where genuine love is flowing from my heart. And we thank you that, Lord, it is so. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming through, as always. Catch him on podcast, VTJ's Corner, Facebook, VTJ Masagona, and Twitter, VTJ_Matt. Thank you so much, Vosi. A star, as always. Really, really do appreciate you. And, of course, it's Annika, and to you, Dominique. I'm learning. Johan Els taking over next on Something Else. Do remember that we would love to get your testimonies. So if something has occurred where the Lord has come through, please do remember to WhatsApp or voice note us on 082-657-2729. And there, people, is the song we're playing out with. BB Winans, when it's all said and done, it all comes down to love.
It's here. Radio Pulpit's new website is live. You can tune in at radiopulpit.co.za and enjoy crystal clear sound with just a click of a button, or listen to our podcasts. Discover biblical truths in our daily devotionals and let our stories of hope inspire you. You can download our app on this new look, easy to use platform. Find your favorite program, get to know our presenters, and so much more at radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
There is radio and radio. And then there is 657 AM. Can you hear the difference?